Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, chapter 7, text 219 up to 222. So I will read what's not on the board first. Text 219. After the Qazi heard this, tears flowed down from his eyes. He immediately touched the lotus feet of the Lord and spoke the following sweet words. So what did he hear? He heard that because he had chanted Hare Krishna and Narayan, he had great fortune. This is what Lord Mahaprabhu told the Qazi. So this made him cry. Next verse. Only by your mercy have my bad intentions vanished. Kindly favor me, so that my devotion may always be fixed upon you. Next verse. The Lord said, I wish to beg you for one favor in charity. You must pledge that this Sankirtan movement will not be checked, at least in the district of Nadia. And in the verse on the board, translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The Qazi said, to as many descendants as take birth in my dynasty in the future, I give this grave admonition. No one should check the Sankirtan movement. As a result of this grave injunction by the Qazi, even at present, the descendants of the Qazi's family do not oppose the Sankirtan movement under any circumstances. Even during the great Hindu-Muslim riots in neighboring places, the descendants of the Qazi honestly preserved the assurance given by their forefather. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Tam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapatantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhubya Ebacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's nice to be here. Thank you for permission to give class. Please ask for the blessings of all the senior devotees and all the devotees. I don't normally come on a Sunday because I usually do a late night Hare Krishna chanting in London. Plus my son plays football. So anyway, I was given the opportunity, so I'm happy to accept. Thank you. As we know, Sarva Padi Vinirmuktam, we should give up all false designations. If we look at Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, we see so many instances of this. Or we see pastimes that make us change the way we think. Here's an interesting one. We have a situation where the Muslims, the Qazi, was complaining. And then what happens next? Lord Narsingadev intervenes. So the Qazi stops. He stops restricting the Sankirtan. So Lord Chaitanya asks why, and he gives a story of how this ferocious lion mounted the chest of the Qazi, and he had the marks to show it. And the followers of the Qazi, when they tried to stop the Kirtan, what happened? Their beards were burning, and they got scorch marks on their face. So it's a very miraculous thing that happened. But going back to Sarva Padi Vinirmuktam, what happened next? Certain Hindus complained that this chanting of Hare Krishna is not in the scriptures. That's where it gets a little confusing. So you're thinking in terms of Muslims and Hindus, but now we find it's the Muslims and the Hindus that are restricting the Sankirtan. And Prabhupada even calls them Pashandi Brahmanas. Actually, I gave a class 2 weeks ago about the Pashandi Brahmins. Does anyone remember what the Pashandi Brahmin is? What was the definition of a Pashandi? It's a verse in the Padma Purana. They do not distinguish between Krishna and the demigods. Yes. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudari Daivatam Samatvena Samatvenaiva Viksheta Sapashandi Bhavet Dhruvam. One who sees Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other demigods to be on the same platform as Krishna, that person is a Bhishandi. So the Bhishandis, they don't understand the value of chanting Hare Krishna. And there are many Bhishandis to this present day. As I mentioned, I was just Googling that verse and I discovered a forum in which there were Hindus complaining, saying, you know, why does this say that Shiva is not equal to Krishna? They didn't like it. And as I pointed out, it's a razor's edge, because according to Sanatan Goswami, it is an offense to distinguish between Shiva and Krishna. Now, our recent acharyas have said it's an offense to see no difference. So it's both an offense to see a difference, and it's an offense to see no difference. So it's a razor's edge. Chincha Beda Beda Tattva, one and different. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. However, Vaishnavayam Yata Shambhu, we should not think the devotee to be less than the Supreme Lord. Yeah? Krishna Ra Samata Hoiti Bada Bhaktapad. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, higher than the position of Krishna is the position of the devotee of Krishna. So from that respect, we should be very careful to respect Lord Shiva. So this is how the upadis get mixed up. And it should challenge our thinking. We should be challenged by our thinking. Here we have a Muslim magistrate who is now passing an injunction that all the descendants of his family will respect the Sankirtan. You see? So this Muslim has defended the Sankirtan movement against the Hindus that didn't understand what it was. And Prabhupada makes an interesting historical point. He says that in the recent, well, not so recent now, in the recent Hindu-Muslim riots, the descendants of the Qazi were respecting this. What does the word Qazi mean? We see the verse, we see the corresponding Bengali term, Kaji. What does it mean? Any Bengali speakers? It simply means magistrate. He's the judge. His position was to judge. Actually, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, they have some similarities to the pastimes of Jesus. They were both religious reformers. They both evolved a tradition. Mahaprabhu, he's the Yuga avatar. So his service, his duty was to introduce the Yuga Dharma. So before the Yuga Dharma, the degree of mercy was not as much as what it was after the introduction of the Yuga Dharma. As we know, Patra Patra Vichar Nahi Nahi Stana Stani. Everyone gets the mercy. Now, here's an interesting thing. If you read the Bhagavad Gita, you would perhaps come to the conclusion that we should support the death penalty for thievery, arson, and so forth. Because there's a purport, Prabhupada says, any sane man will think this is good punishment. We're very strict on laws. But if you then read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll have a different story, because Prabhupada in one purport, because there's one verse where Lord Chaitanya, he gets very angry and he says, kill the Muslims. And we understand he didn't mean it literally, because he obviously didn't. But Prabhupada elaborates in the purport and explains, we don't kill people in the siege of Kali Yuga because everyone's so fallen. If you, for example, what is the punishment for a blasphemer? If you look at the fourth canto, Shiva Daksha Sati pastime, there's a purport, Prabhupada explains, if you're able to, which means if you're a kshatriya, kshatriyas are able to use violence, then you cut out the tongue of the offender, you kill the offender, and then you kill yourself. The reason you kill yourself, you've been contaminated, so you want to give up your connection to your body. Sati, that's why she burnt herself alive. She did not want any connection to Daksha through father-daughter relationship. So she gave up her body. Now, if you're not a kshatriya, if you're a shudra or a vaishya, the injunction is you kill yourself. You're not able to kill the person, but you kill yourself. That way you give up your sinful body. Your body has become sinful by hearing this blasphemy. If you're a Brahmin, you cannot do that either, because it's an offense to kill a Brahmin. So Brahmins don't commit suicide in these situations. In bygone ages, you walk away, cover your ears. In the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says you defeat them with argument. That is how the different varnas are meant to deal with blasphemy. But in the age of Kali Yuga, there's so much blasphemy, you wouldn't last a few days. As a Hare Krishna, if you go out in the street distributing books, how long are you going to last before you hear blasphemy? So I do not recommend you cut out the tongue of the blasphemer. So Prabhupada says, we kill the demonic spirit, right? So what is the weapon we use? Anyone know the weapon? Harinam and Prasad, yes. Prabhupada said, the Maha Mantra is the Astra. Actually, he said three. I've seen three answers to this. So I'm going to give, well, let's go through all three. The Maha Mantra is the Astra through which we kill the demonic spirit. Any other answers? The associates, exactly. So it's Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumeda Saha. In the Sage of Kali, the Yagya is Sankirtan, and the Lord enacts the Sankirtan through his Astra. And the Astra means the associates of the Lord. And there's another meaning for the Astra. It is the beauty of Lord Chaitanya. His beauty, and think of the pastime with Prakashananda. His beauty was so enchanting that these Mayavad sannyasis, they were bowled over by Lord Chaitanya. And he defeated them with beauty and with argument, with both. Here's a little story. One time, Prabhupada, he criticized one of his godbrothers. There was an interfaith meeting. And one of his disciples, Uttamashloka, went there. And they were talking interfaith, and nothing much was being said. So Uttamashloka Prabhu, he rocked the boat a bit. And he said, we're here to talk about God, but I don't hear anyone describing God. We should be more specific. And after that, Bon Maharaj, Prabhupada's godbrother, who was in the assembly, he said, no. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they don't challenge like this. They are very peaceful. We're not preachers. We just let people come in their own time to Krishna consciousness like this. He spoke in a softer way. And Mahaprabhu didn't use argument. It was his beauty. It was with his beauty that he converted people. When Prabhupada heard it, he said, this is nonsense. Of course he gave arguments. Yes, of course he was very beautiful as well. But he was prepared to fight through logic, through debate. And Mahaprabhu's pastime, it can be looked at in three ways. Sankirtan to the masses, to the intellectuals, Vedanta discussion, and to his intimate associates, discussion of rasa, like Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar. And we see, if you look at the pastimes, that's basically what the pastimes are. And if you give someone the Chaitanya Charitamrita and you ask them, what do you think the Hare Krishna movement is, they would probably say, it is dancing, chanting, and taking prasadam, because that's what most of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is about. And in that connection, I want to read to you something that Prabhupada said when he was in London in 1972, Ratha Yatra. I'm going to bash philosophy a little bit, but for a good reason. Our Hare Krishna movement is standing on three principal things: chanting, dancing, and eating prasadam. It is not very difficult. It is very enjoyable to chant, dance, and take prasadam. And if you like, you can hear a little philosophy of this movement. Or even if you do not understand the philosophy, even you do not read the books, simply if you take part in these three things, chanting, dancing, and taking part in eating the prasadam, your life will gradually progress in spiritual advancement of life. Here's another thing. This is from Majjalila, purport, chapter 15, text 237, purport. In the Hare Krishna movement, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the dancing in ecstasy, and the eating of the remnants of food offered to the Lord are very, very important. One may be illiterate or incapable of understanding the philosophy, but if he partakes in these three items, he will certainly be liberated without delay. Notice how philosophy is if you can, if you're inclined. Here's one from Anchalila, chapter 1, text 32, purport. Everyone should be given a chance to take prasadam and thus be induced to chant the holy names Hare Krishna and also dance in ecstasy. By these three processes, although performed without knowledge or education, even an animal went back to Godhead. Which animal are we referring to? Yes, the dog. Shivananda Sen's dog. He disappeared. They lost the dog, and then when they found the dog was chanting Krishna, Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya was throwing little bits of coconut. The dog was taking prasad, dancing, and chanting Hare Krishna. And the dog disappeared. So Prabhupada says the dog went back to Godhead. You see? And the reason I say it is, we don't want the Hare Krishna movement to get boring. Now, philosophy is very important, but we have to be careful, especially when newcomers come, that we don't just say to them, here's your books, pass the exam, get your recommendation, tick your sadhana box, and then you can get initiated. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Now, Prabhupada did want all prospective initiates to get their Bhakti Shastra. I'm not saying they didn't. However, we shouldn't do it at the expense of dancing, chanting, and taking prasadam. As Prabhupada said, what would this movement be without its feast days? So if you notice the plans for the Haveli, there's a very, very big prasadam hall. And we're wondering, it's not that big, okay. It's never big enough. Prabhupada wanted, how many stories did he want? 20-story building here? Anyway, 30 buildings. So we have to charm the residents and charm the local authorities to allow us to build a 30-story building. Then we'll have lots of prasadam. Anyway, we're even discussing how will it be. I like the prasadam arrangements in Mayapur. We have little trolleys on wheels. And the brahmacharis are very, very quick. They go down. One time my parents came to Mayapur. I used to live there. And they somehow got there too quickly. And the reason why was because Jayapataka Maharaj entourage was in front of them. So somehow they managed to clear the road so he gets a quick drive. So this taxi was just behind. So they got there too quickly. And they went and took prasadam before I met them. And then they were completely distressed and bewildered because they didn't know the etiquette that you kind of say stop when you don't want prasadam. So the brahmacharis were coming. And they were serving and they were like, what's going on here? And they had these huge plates and they didn't eat much spinery. So I felt a little bit guilty that I assumed they wouldn't turn up on time, and they did. Anyway, that was the only hitch of the trip. Anyway, let us return. I'm emphasizing prasadam. Because as I say, when people come to the movement, they're very soft. There's a word, Kamala Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. So we don't want to break people. We want to build them up and then we break them later. You know, send them on the street later, but give them some faith, and then they can invest that faith, and then they can show their determination. But don't do it too quickly. We like to let people take prasadam, you know. We like to love the movement before they have to actually really do some hard work. Anyway, let us talk about I was given the comparison between Jesus and Lord Chaitanya. So as I mentioned, the mood of our tradition changed. Before, it was more about justice. Kill the blasphemer. Afterward, it's like, forgive, give the holy name, kill the demonic spirit. And Jesus was the same. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And he changed it. Turn the other cheek. And we see what happened. They both started religious movements, and they both ended up in trouble with the authorities. But of course, that's where the comparison ends. Because in the case of Mahaprabhu, he has a power. When it comes to the confrontation between the authorities and Mahaprabhu, he has the power. Lord Narasingadev is supporting Mahaprabhu, of course. He's avatari. Mahaprabhu is avatari. Lord Narasingadev is within his body. So he defeats. Whereas in Jesus' pastime, well, Pontius Pilate, he said, I find nothing wrong with Jesus. I wash my hands. But the crowd, they were not happy, and they crucified Jesus. And of course, that becomes another pastime of a great sacrifice. But anyway, we see the comparison. It's interesting that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said the Sankirtan movement in this country began with the Salvation Army. You know he said that? Now, the Salvation Army, they used to go in the street and play their musical instruments, and they were famous for it. Now they've become something else. So that's a warning. ISKCON should not become something else. We should keep our focus, our mission, keep our focus. Here's a question. See, I like to harp on about Sankirtan, not because I want to get on people's case, because it's a communal activity. And my enthusiasm is kind of approximately proportional to the number of people that attend. So I was discussing with Ananta, we're going to maybe try and get Divya Nam Prabhu, who likes to arrange Sankirtan festivals. We're going to try and join up with him, because he's already asked us to do so. And we're going to maybe go to central London, somewhere where the streets are very big, and we can have a huge Harinam with lots of book distributors, because he likes to do a monthly Harinam festival. So I'm just giving that plug. When you hear about it, please think about it. Please think of coming. It's not too far. It's not like last time we went to Brighton, which was an ecstatic time. If we go to London, if it's arranged, then it'll be even better in the terms of we'll have more time on the street. But so I like to harp on about Harinam Sankirtan and get on people's cases. But it's for a reason, because personally, I like it when there's lots of people doing the Harinam Sankirtan. Personally speaking, I'm a bit of a secluded person. I'd rather be reading a book by myself. But when it comes to devotional service, I like to be part of a team. And for book distributors, they can just go anywhere and distribute books, and there's no problem. But for Harinam Sankirtan, it's good to have lots of people. So I'm going to give you some reasons I've heard why people don't want to do Harinam Sankirtan, and I'll try and give you some reasons why that's not a good reason, so that I can hopefully persuade people to go on Harinam Sankirtan. One reason people give is, I don't sing nicely. You heard this one before? Another one is, I don't like the people that sing. They don't sing nicely enough. Actually, you can't please all the people all the time. My wife, she'll forgive me for saying it, she doesn't want to come on Saturday daytime Harinam, because everyone sings, everyone has a turn. And she's like, people, they're not inspired to sing, and they don't sing nicely, and I can't dance when they don't sing nicely. I need the right person to lead the kirtan. So some people, that's why they don't go in Harinam Sankirtan. Other people, they say, I don't want to go because you only let the good people sing. So it's the opposite. Now, I'll give you an extreme example. I kind of grew up as a brahmachari in Poland a lot of the time doing Sankirtan with Indrajumna Maharaj. And that's why I like to do Sankirtan, because I think there's something missing when it's not there every day. But he would only let people who played the accordion sing, which is a very strange rule. Now, everyone remembers Gaura Hari, tall Gaura Hari from this yatra. He's a very, very ecstatic kirtan leader. He's not with us right now. He's having a holiday, but hopefully he'll come back. Anyway, I once thought, we'll get him to lead the kirtan, and I'll play the accordion. So I gave him the mic, and Indrajumna Maharaj, he stopped. He goes, no, I want you to lead. So he only let an accordion player lead. Now, some people don't like accordions. They're gypsy instruments. It's a good point. Now, if you want to know what the standards are for kirtan, there is a nice book. It's called the Kirtan Standards Book. I think it's called that. Anyway, but here's a word of warning. Don't read it and then become critical, because you'll find out all the things we do wrong, not we in general, and then you'll think, I don't want to be in this kirtan because he's chanting that mantra, and he shouldn't chant Radhi Radhi. Prabhupada said, don't chant Radhi Radhi, but then he said, on Radharani's appearance day, it's okay to chant Radhi Radhi. He said, Prabhupada himself, he instructed us, pranam mantras, Jai Shri Krishna, Hare Krishna, bas. That's all he'd said. So if you just follow that, that's fine. If someone doesn't end up by singing Jaya this deity, Jaya that deity, Jaya this, that's not a problem, because Prabhupada instructed. However, when Prabhupada was present personally, a lot of the times they did chant Jaya this deity, Jaya, and Prabhupada never said anything about it. He didn't complain. So if you don't like Jaya Jaya at the end, don't complain, because Prabhupada didn't. And if you think you have to have it, then think again, because Prabhupada never did it. When did Prabhupada ever sing Nitai Gaura Hari Bol? There's so many audios, he didn't say it. So that's another one Prabhupada said. It's not necessary. He said, they are the names. Here's a contradiction. Here's a head spinner. He said, these are the names of the Lord, so there's no offense. However, our acharyas didn't instruct us to do that, therefore you're breaking the order of the acharya. And I'm thinking, hold on a second, breaking the order of the guru is one of the offenses to the holy name. But at the same time, he's saying it's no offense. Why? Because they're holy names. Inconceivable. So if you read the Kirtan Standards book, you'll find out everything. And there's nothing, practically nothing, that you can really say we shouldn't do Harinam. For example, some people say we shouldn't go on Harinam because we shouldn't play the drums. Personally speaking, I don't like the big drum set because it drowns everything out. So, But at the same time, I can't say it's completely wrong, because there was one instance where there was a kirtan, and it was done with Western instruments, and the devotees, they gave the tape to Prabhupada thinking he wouldn't like it. And instead, he said, "This is wonderful." And they said, "But Prabhupada, they weren't using madangas, they were using all these wrong instruments." And Prabhupada said, "No, it was enthusiastic, and he loved it." So sometimes anything goes in Prabhupada. Sometimes he said, "You can play any instrument you like as long as you play it nicely." So sometimes he said, "Stringed instruments are Vedic." So then people think, "Okay, get out my electric guitar. It's Vedic. It's got strings, right?" Anyway, you can make up any rule you like. But at other times he said, "Only madanga cartels." Or he said, "Only Colin cartels." So some devotees, they think that's what we should do. And I think that's a very bona fide desire. Therefore, we need a call cartel Harinam party. I don't think it's a good idea to change the one that currently exists. We almost have call and cartel on the midday Harinam on Saturdays. We just have a harmonium extra. Now, what did Prabhupada say about the harmonium? Sometimes, as I said, call and cartel only, but there's other instances where he actually requested the harmonium on public chanting. So which one do you go with? We have a choice. You can say Colin Cartel only, bona fide. You can say harmonium, bona fide. They're both bona fide. Sometimes he asks for the tampura. Any tampura players here? We could bring out the tampura and have some lovely kirtan. You know, Shakshagopal likes to come out with different stringed instruments. Tushta Krishna, he comes out with little things, ektars, and there's all these instruments. They make funny noises. And they can add to the mood of the kirtan. So we should know everything that Prabhupada said about kirtan, so that we don't think that something's wrong when it's actually not wrong. And if we get rid of all the reasons for not doing kirtan, then we're more likely to do it, right? Isn't it? Some people say, we shouldn't do kirtan, it doesn't work anymore. Now, there's a little bit of truth in that. I'll tell you why. When Jai Krishna Prabhu gave class, he said, there was a time you'd go on Harinam Sankirtan and you come back with devotees. Well, I'm sorry, not come back with devotees, you come back with non-devotees. Then they sleep and then you shave them up. So people were so inclined, so open, that they would actually just come and join the Hare Krishna movement. I can't hardly ever think of that ever happening nowadays. People don't think about, let's just jump in the bus with the Hare Krishnas and go back to their temple, because times have changed. However, that's only part of the story. Another part, and we are in control of the next part, we used to just let anyone come and stay. Now we're like, well, have you got a degree? You know, when in Mayapur, one time, there was this sign in Mayapur that said, you have to have your Madhyam qualification. In India, they have these. It's like your O-levels. And I said to some devotees, why is it only people with O-levels are allowed to join ISKCON Mayapur? I was thinking, it's for everyone. The answer I got from one of the senior devotees said, they have so many devotees, it's hard for them to manage. I'm thinking, what a luxury, imagine that. There's so many devotees wanting to join. The management don't know what to do with them. Therefore, they have to cherry pick the ones that have got their O-levels equivalent, you know. But we should be careful. Let's not forget, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj wouldn't make it, would he? He wouldn't get it. He didn't have his majjhimik, whatever. On that point, here's something to think about, at the risk of sounding controversial. We glorify, and rightly so, the founders of ISKCON UK, Malati, Guru Das, Shamasundar, things like that. I don't want to say anything bad about them, but they themselves have admitted it. They weren't the highest in terms of following the law. They were a little bit unusual, a little bit quirky. I mean, Guru Das, he's quite an unusual person. Ask yourself this. If people like that came to the movement today, would we welcome them? Maybe we think, they used to sell drugs. Prabhupada said to them, I sell drugs as well. You know, Shamasundar said, I have to go to prison for selling drugs. And Prabhupada said, I used to sell drugs as well. The point was, and I gave the example a few weeks ago, I said, Prabhupada once, there was one time temple authorities were working out, I'm not saying this for Pranabandhu's sake, temple authorities were like looking at making rules, and then they said to Prabhupada, here are the rules we've made for the temple. And one of them was, no single woman with children should be allowed to stay in the temple, because we can't support them and they can't do any service. And Prabhupada's head dropped. And they could tell he didn't like this. And he said, as far as I'm concerned, everyone should have a chance. Now that's an extreme example. But we have to make sure that we're all inclusive. And there's a little balance here between inclusiveness and order. You see, the more inclusive you are, the more chaotic things can become. And that's the thing. And the more inclusive you are, the more austerity it is for the brahmacharis and the brahmacharinis who have to deal with some of the unusual people that might come through the Bhaktisiddhanta Manor. But we should try and get the balance right. And if we can have two standards. We can have the higher standard, and then there's a halfway house, you know. We have to be all inclusive. Because Prabhupada said one time, here's one thing. Prabhupada was once approached by a book distributor, Gopa Vrindapal, and he said, you know, they're always complaining. The public, they're saying, every time we see you, you're always wanting money from us. You always want to sell us something. And Prabhupada gave an interesting response. He said, you tell them, no, you can be with us all the time. You can stay with us. And if you stay with us for 3 days, you'll become like us. That's the power of association. Personally speaking, I confessed I had a little pouch of tobacco in my rucksack when I joined the Hare Krishnas. And I went to the ashram in Auckland, and they said, they didn't even know I had it, but they said, here are the rules, no smoking. And I was thinking, okay, I'm not going to smoke. So I gave up smoking. Actually, I'd given up many years before, but I went to India, and it was such a mad place that I just decided I'm just going to start smoking here because it's too much for my head. Anyway, I stopped after 14 weeks. I joined the Hare Krishna movement. Why? Because I had no money, because I got ripped off in India. What to do? They said to me, you know, you take these jewels to Australia, you pick them up, and we'll avoid paying tax, and you'll get twice the money back. I was thinking, that's a great idea. And then it sort of turned up they never arrived, or some of them did, and then they said, oh, they're just bits of glass. And I was like, okay. Anyway, I discovered in Nepal, actually, I read a Lonely Planet book, and then I discovered there is a scam in India, jewels, and I'm thinking, oh, why didn't I read the book before I went? Anyway, it was too late. It was Krishna's arrangement, because I had no money, therefore I had to join the Hare Krishnas, because they invited me, and it was free, so it was great. Anyway, so I'm making the point, you know, we have to be all-inclusive, because of the power of association. So we're talking here about kirtan standards. Here's one. I love this one. Here's one reason people think we shouldn't chant in public, because people are interested. Now, in many places of the world, they're not interested, but in central London, they are. People like, here's a little story. Agni Dev came a few years ago, and he came on the Saturday night Harinam, so we gave him the microphone, and he just went for it, and it was great. And all these other people came out, because Agni Dev's really, really popular. And afterwards, he wrote to Bajahari on Facebook, and he said, I couldn't sleep all night. I was so ecstatic. And he says, I used to think New York, Harinam was the best in the world. Now I think it's London. So Bajahari likes to post this on Facebook. Anyway, so here's the thing. What if you're in a place where there's not much reciprocation from the public? Here's a quote from you. This is what Prabhupada said in a lecture. By your chanting, some public is satisfied. No, we're not concerned with that. He may be satisfied or not satisfied. But if I chant in the proper way, then my predecessors, the acharyas, will be satisfied. That is my business. Finished. If I don't invent in my own way. You see? So that doesn't mean we're not careful how we present things. We're strategic. We try and find ways to engage the public. But we shouldn't gauge our success or failure on the response of the public, because we should be fixed in ourselves to understand that this is a service to the parampara. I mean, I've been on Harinam. I went on a Harinam in Bedford, and it just rained. Torrential rain. It was Dunstable. Now, Dunstable isn't a very big place for Harinam. But when it rains torrentially, then the streets are deserted practically. And there was maybe about three members of the public and about 10 devotees. And we just stood at a bus shelter and we chanted Hare Krishna. And for me, that was a wonderful Harinam because it taught me a lesson. And I was thinking, there's no point being here. Then I thought, no, wait a minute. There is a point being here. Because in one sense, we're not here for others, we're here to serve Krishna. So on Thursday, I was on Harinam with a group of devotees. In Kulashekar afterwards, he said to me, he goes, at the end of that Harinam, there was a moment when I forgot I was on the street. And he gave me his realization. He goes, that's what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to just be absorbed in Krishna consciousness in the temple, and then we just take it out on the street. So we may even lose ourselves in thoughts of Krishna. And I thought that was a nice realization. At the same time, we have to be very careful about our appearance, about our address, As I say, you can't please all the people all the time. There are some people that will not go on Harinam because they say, you're wearing bed sheets, that looks silly, you should wear proper Western clothes. Then there are other people that say, well, I'm not going to go on Harinam because you're not wearing dhotis. Prabhupada wanted dhotis, you want a shaved head to your leg, so you can't please all the people all the time. Anyway, you can have different moods. My point is, we're better at criticizing than actually doing it ourselves. Now here's one, Harinam should be organized. Very good point. The Harinam parties I know, they do try and organize it just to some degree. It doesn't always work out perfectly. In my opinion, it's reasonably organized, not something to worry about. You see, we should remember what Prabhupada said about spots on the moon. You know, the moon is very bright, it may have some spots. You can see the spots, so you can see the brightness. And Prabhupada said that in terms of devotees. Api chet sudaracharo, bhajati mamananyabak, sadureva samantavya, samyag vyavasitohisa. Even if he's engaged in abominable activities, he's still saintly. We should see the saintliness of the devotee, not the abominable activities. Yeah? So it's the same for Harinam Sankirtan. There may be some legitimate imperfections, but it's still Harinam Sankirtan, so it's still wonderful. So we should be think it's not about good and bad, it's about good and better. You know, even a bad Harinam is a good Harinam, right? So, and if we don't, then we're like, as Prabhupada said, you're like the fly looks for the stool. So we don't want to be like the flies looking for the faults. I mean, sometimes it's well-intentioned, but we should always remember, if in spite of constructive criticism nothing changes, then it wasn't constructive. Nothing changed. Therefore, if it's not constructive, it's not helpful. Therefore, if someone really doesn't like existing Harinams, then they should get together and show everyone else how to do it nicely, right? Better to be constructive. As I say, and better, but also better that people who exist and people who do Harinam should be very careful to listen to good advice and make changes. For example, lines of two. Now, it's very difficult to organize a Harinam party for some reasons. There are some devotees who are in another world, you know, and they just lose the perspective of where they are in relation to other people. And if you have to tell them, hey, get back in line, or dance in time, and after you've told them five times on one Harinam, you think to yourself, okay, I give up, right? But there are people like that. Now, dance steps, I was telling devotees, why don't we all use the same dance step? Then one devotee said, I've got a bad hip, I can't dance that way. So okay, so maybe we dance that way. Another one says, I can't dance that way because it's too fast and it's austere for me. So sometimes there's not even a dance step that everyone can agree on. So then maybe we just don't dance, we just stand somewhere against the wall, and that's fine. There's always a shop that's closed, because after all, people do their shopping on internet now. So some of the high street shops are closed. You can stand in front of a shop, you know, bothering anyone, and do it that way. Now, what if you bother someone? You have to be careful. Now, here's a question. What is the purpose of the Uddhava Gita? What is the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita? And obviously, it's to teach us. But the Bhagavad Gita, the purpose was to get Arjuna to fight, right? So you'll find fighting is a recurring theme of the Bhagavad Gita. What was the purpose of the Uddhava Gita? Sutapa should know. He asked me to give a seminar once on it. It's to get Uddhava to take sannyas. Right? So if you read the Uddhava Gita, it's all about sannyas. Although the word sannyas might not appear, but it's sannyas in the sense of going beyond the mental platform. Like, for example, the Avanti Brahman. He says, my suffering is not because of these people, it's not my karma, it's not fate, it's not this, it's not time, it is my mind. That was his answer. In other words, I'm on the mental platform, therefore I suffer. So if you come off the mental platform, you don't suffer. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Uddhava Gita, it says, Kim badram kim abhadram va dvaitasya vastuna kiyat. That in this material world, where is good and where is bad? There is no such thing as badram and abhadram. It's all an illusion. It's manasa jatam. It's a concoction of the mind. And Mahaprabhu, he gave the Bengali version of this. When he would talk in Bengali, he would create his own shlokas, which they now recognize shlokas because they're in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, if I can remember it, Dvaiti Badra Badra Gyan, Sabha Mano Dharma, E Balo E Manda E Sabha Brahm. In this world of delusion, Dvaiti, world of duality, where is Badra and where is Abhadra? It is all Mano Dharma, just the function of the mind. So therefore, there's no such thing as good and bad. And we should remember that, because we cannot please all the people all the time. You'll always find someone, member of the public, will come and say, You know, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't be chanting this Hare Krishna on the street, and they'll criticize us. You know, but while we try to accommodate people, because we're not on another planet, although sometimes we look like we are, still we have our limits, because that is the mental platform. And if we try to satisfy all the people all the time, we will never. All we'll end up doing is we won't preach at all. So just to emphasize this point, consider the mood of the 70s. Now, even in these purports, in this chapter, you'll find Prabhupada saying, we kick on the heads, it was in yesterday's purport, we kick on the heads of such protesters. Prabhupada's often had the mood, we are protesting demonic civilization. Now, there are so many lovely stories. In the old days, I like to say the good old days, devotees had such belief in what they were doing, they were prepared to break the law. And they would repeatedly break the law, they would repeatedly get caught, they would be put in prison, they'd be taken before the judge, and they would argue their case. That was dedication. Nowadays, if someone goes on the street and then there's some bad reaction, some public member of the public doesn't like it, and they maybe think, oh, I shouldn't do this, let's find some other way of preaching. They give up too easily. Let us bear in mind the mood of the 70s. There's one story, Tribhuvanath Prabhu. So he kept getting caught on Sankirtan. So he got put in prison overnight, got taken before the judge. And then the judge said to him, look, you have all these fines and you've not paid any of them. So Tribhuvanath, he explained, I'm doing it as a service to humanity, to the service to my spiritual master, and he gave a whole spiel. The judge was so impressed, he let him off and cancelled all the fines. There's one ex-temple president in Sydney, Atmaram Prabhu. So he was put in prison and he got taken before the judge. So he decided he would represent himself in court. So the judge was examining and the prosecution were there and they were interrogating him, and then he was just speaking from the heart. At the end of the court, he was let off, and then one lawyer came to him and said, do you want to be a lawyer? You're really good at this. But he was inspired from the heart. There's so many instances. Tribhuvanath, he was even put in prison, and we don't even know what happened to him. He was even tortured in the Middle East, according to what Bhagavad Ashray told me. But anyway, this is dedication. So I'm trying to think, there's some other wonderful stories, Sankirtan stories. Which one? Is that Tribhuvanath story? I don't know the details. The only story I know, and actually I remember Shri Dharmapur said this in class once, that he was distributing Prabhupada's books in the street, and someone came to him and said, you're going to get locked up. And he said, well, I'm collecting for my plane fare. So some Muslim gave him the money for a flight. That's the only story I know. Is that what are you thinking?
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Yes. The thing is that you stick your neck out and Krishna protects you. And this example in today's purport is a typical example of that. You see, when the authorities complained, the devotees could have said, okay, we were not going to chant in public. But instead, they were determined to follow the Dharma, the Yuga Dharma. And what happens? It totally transforms. The whole situation is transformed. And the Kazi was originally unfavorable, and then he becomes favorable. So it is often the case, if we're right, we don't back down at the wrong time, then Krishna arranges things like that. And as I say, you know, sometimes Parashuram, he gets donations from Muslims. You know, they don't mind. People appreciate someone who practices what they preach, and they have conviction. If you have conviction in what you're doing, people will appreciate that. Now, I occasionally try to distribute books, and I'm not very good at it. But I was very much encouraged, because one day I was trying to distribute books, and then one member of the public came up to me and said, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing. You're always trying. You know, you don't get much results. I'm watching you, but you're always smiling. You're always happy, and you really believe in what you're doing, and I just think that's wonderful what you're doing. And he was actually a Muslim. And then, so even we don't convert people, we don't see any results, even we don't distribute many books, we still affect things in a positive way, and we don't always know how it's happening. Now, an example, one time, about a month or two ago, we were chanting on Thursday, Harry and I, it was about 3 o'clock. We were near the Soho Street. We were chanting, and then there was two immigrants. They were sitting on the street. They weren't messy. I don't think they were homeless, but they obviously didn't have a job. They were sitting on the street, and they just were looking at us, and they were watching us. And after about 5 minutes, one of them got up, and he just went into ecstasy. He was going, "Good heart, good heart." And he started beating his chest, and he just started embracing us all. That's just, we have this effect. You just chant Hare Krishna, and you just see what happens. Just wonderful things happen. But we have to keep doing it. So sometimes people say, "I'm a fanatic." I take it as a compliment, but it's not actually true. I'll tell you why. Ayendra Prabhu once said, he once got a letter from Prabhupada saying, "I'm so happy to hear about your 18-hour Sankirtan days." Now, it wasn't just Harinam, it was Harinam and books. So I confess, I do less Harinam Sankirtan in 1 week than what they used to do in 1 day. So if you want to look at a fanatic, you look at those days. And Prabhupada liked those fanatics. So if you think I'm a fanatic, I'm not a fanatic at all. I do less Sankirtan in 1 week than what was going on in 1 day. Now, Shakshi Gopal, he joined when we had Bury Street Temple. And so the program was 6 days a week, go out, do 4 hours Harinam up to Marble Arch, take prasadam, and then we'd actually go there and back, take prasadam, and then go out again, do another 4 hours. So they were doing 8 hours a day, 6 days a week, so that's 48 hours. Wonderful. So my question is, what happens to your consciousness when you do that? And more to the point, if we're not able to do that, I'm not able to do that. If we're not able to do that, we can't judge. You see, what happens is, as you surrender, your consciousness changes. So in the Kevalastikam, anyone heard of the Kevalastika? If you listen to Kripa Mohi Prabhu's CD, Chakram, the last track, track number 9 is Kevalastika. It's wonderful. Abrahma stamba paryantam, sarvam maya mayam jagat, satcham satcham punas satcham harinami vakivalam. From Lord Brahma down to the clump of grass, everything in this universe is illusion. But there is one truth, satcham satcham punas satcham harinami vakivalam. So what happens is, if you dedicate yourself, not just to Harinam Sankirtan, Prabhupada once said, we should understand Sankirtan broadly. So book distribution is also Sankirtan, Prabhupada said. But is anything preaching? Kali Yugi, Yuga Dharma, Namara Prachar. What is Yuga Dharma? It's Prachar, propagation of the holy name. One time back to Sananda Saraswati said, if you set the perfect example, then that is Kirtan. Why? Because people see it and they change. Anything that changes people in a positive way, spiritually, that's Kirtan. Because Kirtan means to give it out. So if you are the perfect example, that is Kirtan, because people will learn by your example. They will become like you. One way to get people to chant Hare Krishna is to shove the book in their hand or chant Hare Krishna in their face. Another one is to just be a good example. If you're a good example, people will follow you. That's your Kirtan, right? Kirtan means to give it out. So what was I talking about in terms of, I was telling a story and I lost my track. Can anyone remind me what I was talking about? No one remembers. I was talking about how as you chant more, your perception changes. And you start to realize the illusion. We know theoretically this world's an illusion, but you don't realize it unless you surrender. If you start surrendering, you start to realize, actually, it's true. The holy name is everything. And you get the realization. But if you don't surrender, you don't get the realization, then you start thinking, well, you know, you shouldn't really chant, and, you know, it's, people don't like it, and it's better that we just make friends with people. So on Facebook, someone posted on Facebook just yesterday, said, I've been criticized. I go to work, we're in Tilak. And some devotees are saying, oh, you shouldn't do that, you should blend in more. His response was, there are Sikhs wearing their turbans, there are Swami Narayans with a little red dot, there are Muslims, everyone's doing it, so why shouldn't I show I'm a Vaishnav? Point is, people, Prabhupada said, if they see you're wearing tilak, then they're going to think of Krishna. So it's passive preaching. So we shouldn't be ashamed of our own culture, you know. We shouldn't be so obsessed with blending in. I mean, Hare Krishnas, they are like angels compared to some religions. Some religions, they want to basically, you know, become like us, or else we'll just introduce a new law and we'll kill you if you don't want to follow our law, or we'll make you our slaves and you'll pay an extra tax. I mean, that's going on in public, very openly, and I don't see too much kickback. In fact, the British spirit is, let's accommodate people as much as we can. And they can almost accommodate such people, surprisingly. Anyway, in comparison, we're angels. So we shouldn't worry about someone maybe gets a little upset. Here's a story. Indra Jumaraj, he went to Australia once, and they took the Harinam party out. And then there was one shopkeeper in Sydney, and he came out. He was in ecstasy. He goes, "Where have you been? You know, you used to come, Hare Krishna used to come to my shop and chant outside my shop every day. And I used to get so angry with you. And I used to contact the authorities." So he's smiling. He's in ecstasy to see the Hare Krishnas. But they're the same Hare Krishnas that made him angry. So this is what we mean by the mental platform. Now, there's a building right next to Soho. And there's a security guard. He doesn't like the Hare Krishnas, because they always start their Harinam outside the building, almost. Well, they start outside Soho Street, but he's very close. So I've spoken to him a few times, and I'm just smiling with him. I think I'm going to take him to Govinda's restaurant and buy him something. But anyway, he's complaining. I'm just smiling and talking with him. And then he changes. Suddenly he goes, "Actually, you guys are really good. I'm not saying you're bad. There's a lot of things you do are really good." And suddenly he just changes, and he just loves us. So this is the thing, that the mind is very flickering. And if we pay too much attention to how people think, then we can be our own worst enemy. Prabhupada would often say, nothing can stop this movement, but it can stop if we don't believe in it ourselves. You see, if we stop being Hare Krishnas, then where's the Hare Krishna movement? And as Maharaj said yesterday, there's the organization and there's the movement. The two should be there. The point is, the organization should facilitate the movement as much as possible. We don't want a movement and an organization. The organization has to be part, has to facilitate the movement. The movement is the driving force, and that is how Prabhupada envisioned it. So, it's 10 to 9. I have a few more things I could say, but I'll open up for comments and questions. And if there aren't any, we can see you. Hare Krishna, thank you.